Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. Did the Hawks win last night, Dre? We did not. Lost in overtime, man. Lost the 4 points, though. It was a good game, man.
Yeah, I saw a good bit of it earlier. I just didn't see the ending.
We can hang. Wow. Welcome to another edition Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We do come with heavy hearts, but, joyful hearts in issues, too, because we hope that things get better. So we got to reach out to my brother Gary. I know he's going to do a quick little start. I know JQ was not able to join us, so he's not able to share a lot of that, too. But, Gary, I know you're in a special situation, so we're going to kind of let you start off with this as well, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. First of all, you guys, reaching out, it's been greatly appreciated. I've shared that with my dad. I want to talk about injuries. We've seen that Joe Theismann injury over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
In his prime. One body part. Dak Prescott, mine and Curtis's team. Our team, the Blazers, up here with Nurk, people turning their heads. These are athletes in their prime. These are guys that are quick healers and, with the best doctors money can buy and Johnny on the spot with everything. Well, if you can imagine one of those athletes being 86 and both legs breaking. This is what my dad's have gone through. So I'm only on for a short period, but I wanted to, he's such a sports fan. And he loves our show.
Aww.
And what I asked him was this. I asked him, do you give more credit to Tom Brady or Bill Belichick?
Nice.
For the last 20 years in success. And without any hesitation, he said, Tom Brady. Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl. Bill Belichick didn't make the playoffs.
Wow.
Here this guy, here this man is, and I mean, he's struggling, and he's going to overcome this. He's not going to be able to put any weight on either leg for 6 weeks.
Mm.
After that, then some rehabilitation, and we're going to see what happens. But we're going to get him out of this hospital bed here in the next few days. Maybe tomorrow, if we're lucky, we got our house set up for it.
Nice.
And we're going to be battling with our personal battle here with my father and his health, and we're going to get him back to shape. And I just wanted to open the floor up to what you guys want to say about what's happened and what you've just heard.
Well, I just want to definitely concur with that too. That it's an honor to have your dad fighting and whatnot too. That was great that he loves the show. So the fact that he is a fan, that makes my day. I don't know if you had a chance, Gary, to watch the. There was a quick special about Alex Smith and how he overcame his injury. I don't know if you actually saw that.
Yes.
If you did not, did you actually watch that?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Crazy.
Of how he
crazy.
Was, Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy what he went through. And I was rooting for him this year just for the simple, not because he, you know, played for a rival team, of course, but his personal story to be able to get back onto the field and playing sports. And we're looking to get my dad, you know, back on track. The only thing that was the saving grace is, you know, we've been out in our motorhome quite a bit, and we're glad that with the situation that it happened while we were at home.
Yeah.
So that in itself is a blessing. But
that's
the encouragement that you guys have given has been overwhelming, and we really appreciate it. Right, Pops?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to let you guys go ahead and continue.
Your dad is a fighter, Gary. We're going to continue to pray, and I know with you being there with him, you know, he's going to recover from this, you know, a lot faster than most people will recover from this. And so it's a blessing that you're able to be there right by his side as well.
Yeah, and with this COVID thing, what's devastating is one person can be with you, and that's a designated person that doesn't change after that. So that it's been difficult for my mom as well, being at home, not being with him. But, you know, thank God we have these phones with FaceTime and this sort of thing where I can keep her updated and they can communicate. But let's continue this sports show in the manner that was intended. I just wanted to say thank you, guys, and I'll be on next week.
Appreciate
right.
you, Gary.
We appreciate
you
dialing in, Gary.
We got
fire.
All right.
Yeah,
checking on you, buddy.
Yeah. That's another fighter right there is my buddy Curtis that's on the air. Curtis,
I know,
make
right.
us proud tonight. I've only got one more comment for you guys. Paul George sucks ass. We'll see you guys later.
Classic parting shot.
Have a good evening.
Oh, what an awesome show. What an awesome start, man. Again.
Why did I not know that was coming?
Good night, gentlemen.
Oh, man. Good night, Gary. We appreciate you. Much praise for the fam. Oh, my goodness. Oh, well, you know, it's been an interesting start to this particular issue, talking sports in the 12th, man. I know we try to get hype, and we try to always, you know, again, just have some good vibes, and we're going to keep that going as always. So I'm going to check in with you, Rob. I know you've been ripping and running. I know you've been getting settled. Have you been okay over there in Tampa Bay? You been doing any celebrating for the Super Bowl? What's happening on your side of the world over there, man?
Well, you know, of course, I'm hearing this from the Bucks fans, right?
I know you are.
Yeah. But it's not too bad, though. It's not like if the Falcons won the Super Bowl. The Falcons wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't hear the end of it from Falcons fans. So the Bucks fans are not as it's not as bad as that, or it's not as bad as Cowboy fans, if you will, right? But see, I'm supporting the Tampa Bay Lightning, the hockey team, so I at least joined the bandwagon on that end.
Oh, that's good. That's good. You know, we only kid and love, man. Like I said, I know it's a, you know, it sucks that you as a rival, you've gone to the Super Bowl twice, and actually, you know, at least you got to win, man. We're never going to live down to 28-3 unless we do something about that too. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get that stench off of us, man. So you know, whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But
you know, the only unfortunate thing, you know, yeah, the Saints do have that Super Bowl win, but you know, you would think with Sean Payton and Drew Brees being together for 15 years, you would have more than one. So that still stinks that you only got one Super Bowl. So
yeah, well, all right, we can compare that. You know, same thing. Whenever you got you have the Braves winning theirs, you have the Bills. There's a lot of different storylines that can also be played out too. So,
I thought about
the
Atlanta Braves comparison. Braves comparison with the Saints. You know, all those years the Braves went and just got the one World Series, and it's very similar. I thought that was I don't want to bring it up, but since you did, I actually thought about that comparison.
It's a little sad, man. But like I said, we get it. You know, you just had it. You know, Saints had a couple bad months and bad calls. Or it just you know, it's one of those things that, you know, a couple things have to happen to get Super Bowl for sure, man. So I'm sure we'll definitely touch on that. We have a lot of time since there's only like three of us to talk about the topics. But again, brings back old times. Curtis, how are you feeling this evening, sir? What's going on, sir?
You know, for me, like I tell everybody, every day above ground for me is a good day. It really is. This disease was named after Lou Gehrig. And I always bring that up, you know, because he died in the 30s. And it's the 2020s. And I can't figure out, of 80 years of dealing with this disease, how they are not anywhere close to figuring this thing out. It bothers me. But, you know, I'm still here. I'm still a sports fan. And I still like being on this show.
Right.
I want to make a comment, though, about New Orleans. You know, one of the things that sports have is a lot of emotion to it. And
absolutely,
because New Orleans went through that Katrina, that hurricane when they did, that football team lifted up that whole community.
They did.
When they won that Super Bowl.
Sure did.
That was a super emotional for that whole region down there. And that's exactly what they did. And you just can't keep that emotion going as long as the New England Patriots did. But what New England did was a lot of cheating through the years. There was a lot of cheating. So you got to account for that.
Oh, my gosh. So the cheaters are separated, which I say, Bill Belichick and whatnot. They had ultimate cheaters. Is that what you're trying to say over here? They separated the two master cheaters, if you will.
Well,
oh, man.
And somehow, the owner beat the Chargers in Miami at the Flop House.
Yeah.
Well, I think he must have had enough money.
Boy, Curtis was going off. Oh, man. Yeah, like I said, so definitely there's a lot of, you know, we can't sort of prove a lot of stuff too, but I can see where you're going with that, Curtis, too, as well, man. So very interesting, to say the least. Let's get into these topics, man. I'm actually excited because this is the first time that we may be able to get through all these topics. There's three of us, and you know, I don't know if you know Curtis, or JQ had a chance to hang out with his friend, so he's not going to join us, but we have a lot of things to talk about.
There's only nine topics tonight.
Which is perfect. You know, again, calling the show, I didn't give the number as always, but the 424-243-9519 is always the best way to reach us. Obviously, we're on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports, and then obviously Facebook.com/12ManSports as well. I got my notes out for this, Rob, too, because we want to take some time to actually go through this because it kind of brings you back whenever me and you first started. And there's been a lot of scuttlebutt in the offseason about quarterbacks, where they're going, and there's going to be a lot of different homes. And this is going to change, again, I think, for the exciting part for the NFL. So we're going to talk about a couple quarterbacks, where they're going to be playing next season. Some may be a situation where just the contract ended. Some other situations where, you know, hey, it's time for fresh scene, if you will. And then you obviously had the official note with Deshaun Watson actually demanding the trade. So there's a lot of different movement here. And I'll kind of like start it off too because I'm kind of interested as far as Aaron Rodgers. There's a couple. I have three locations, three places. He is actually from California, so some way, somehow, I'm kind of, depends on what happens with the draft. You know, I had San Francisco as a destination. I had the Denver Broncos, and then I had the Patriots just because, you know, again, maybe there's a situation where Aaron wants to go and kind of like, you know, join that legacy, if you will, of the Patriots. Deshaun Watson, As much as I'd love for him to go to the Falcons, I don't know if there's enough draft capital we want to give up. I actually have him going to the Jets. I think they're going to make a trade. Number two pick. Sam Darnold's going to go to Houston. And that's kind of why I think it's going to work out for them. Matthew Stafford, I have him. He may want to start winning. He actually may want to change his tune and actually go to the Patriots as the number one spot. And I also have the second squad as the Colts. And let me bring in Naj as well. And then last but not least, we've got Sam Darnold. That's the one I have going to Houston. So that's kind of like my, if you will, I have some notes as far as what quarterbacks are going to go. But again, I know this is kind of, you know, fun as far as what we think everything's going to happen. So, Naj, welcome, man. We're getting ready started. We're jumping in, man. So, welcome aboard as always, sir.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's up?
We're just talking about the first topic here. You know, we've got a smaller show. We've got three of us before with you because JQ is not going to make it. Gary's out. So we're literally talking about where some quarterbacks are going to be actually playing next season. We've got Aaron Rodgers, Sean Watson, Matthew Stafford, and Sam Darnold. So I gave my destinations. I'm going to turn it over to Rob, and then we'll let Curtis and you kind of wrap it up too. So it's on you, Rob.
I think when you look at Deshaun Watson and Houston here, they're going to want a top draft choice here. And I'm not sure if Sam Darnold is enough in that trade. They want to get one of these quarterbacks in the draft, the Zach Wilsons or the Justin
Fields.
Second
piece as well.
So to me, the obvious candidates here would be either the Jets, Atlanta, or Detroit. And those are the teams that are also looking for quarterbacks that are in that top 10 and that can still allow Houston to draft a quarterback. Now, I know there's some talk about New England, Chicago, and New Orleans getting into this too, but they don't have
Carolina's
a high draft
hard
pick.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Carolina's got a number 8 pick, so that could be also a possibility. So there, but to me, if you're Houston, you want to get one of these top picks so you can possibly grab a Zach Wilson, possibly grab a Justin Fields, or possibly grab a Trey Lance. You want one of those quarterbacks in this draft to restart your organization with the new head coach. Look like Josh McCown may be the offensive coordinator for Houston. But to me, those are the teams that have the best chance of getting them because they have such high draft picks, in my opinion. I hear New England and Chicago and New Orleans want to kick the tires with Houston as well. But I think those teams with those high draft picks will have a better chance to land Deshaun Watson, in my opinion. Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to be in Green Bay. I don't think he's going anywhere. I know he's a little frustrated after the game this past week. I think he'll be back in Green Bay. But if there was a trade, I would say the Rams and the 49ers would obviously be where he would want to go, or go play in California. You know, he lives outside of L.A., and he's from the Bay Area, so probably one of those two will probably be where. But I foresee him being back in Green Bay next year. Sam Darnold is a wild card. I mean, my latest mock draft, I have Jets taking Zach Wilson. So where does that leave Sam Darnold? You know, a few years ago, the Saints made a third-round pick, traded a third-round pick to the Jets for Teddy Bridgewater. They could be a possibility there. I can see the Colts being a possibility as well, obviously with Phillip Rivers retiring. I could see New England. I can see Bill Belichick maybe taking a look at him. Most of the time, teams don't trade in their division, though, so that will kind of throw that out. So that would be interesting. I think he's the wild card here. And I think the Jets right now are split 50% or sold on staying with Darnold. 50% is going on a new direction, whether that be Deshaun Watson or drafting a quarterback. And then last, Matt Stafford. I think Stafford is going to be in either New England or Indianapolis. Phillip Rivers, I don't see Cam Newton being back in New England, so I can see Matt Stafford being with one of those two teams next year.
Gotcha. That's a good call. We'll talk about
it. Yeah.
Go ahead, Curtis.
I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere. And, you know, he's full of four greats. I told you guys last week that they're front runners, and Tampa Bay took the front running out of them when they went down and scored on the first drive. They were done.
Yeah.
The best they can do in Green Bay is run from the front. they don't run very good from behind. Now, the Jets have the most to give Houston. They have the most capital. They have the most draft choice. And they have the best situation. But I also
Curtis. I know Miami's got a lot of capital, too, ironically, because they're the ones that traded with Houston. So they got two first-round draft picks. They got two second-round draft picks, too. So they've got a lot of draft capital. I don't know if they'll reverse that trade with Houston. But that's just keep that in mind, too, Curtis. It's something I was looking at today. So I was like, who has the most capital, if you will, too. So, yeah, it's something to think about. But go ahead.
Yeah. That is interesting. And I'm not sure what teams are on here on the Sean's list, but I know he has a list of teams that he's are interested in.
And a no trade.
And I don't know if Atlanta is one of them or not. But I think, you know, he's just tired of looking at franchises that can't get their act together. He wants a franchise that looks like they can get you to a Super Bowl. And there's a bunch of them out there that don't look like they can do that thing. So that's going to be interesting. I see Stafford in with the Colts. I really do. And I think that San Francisco's in play for somebody, and I think they're willing to give New England back Jimmy G.
Okay.
Wow.
Take back, Susan. Here you go. Okay. Nice. What about Darnell?
What about who?
Darnell, did you say where he was going?
Damn, Darnell.
Darnell is... He may be in Atlanta.
Oh,
and they may take Ryan.
I would just give him Ryan, but yeah, it's on the conversation. But yeah, I like it. Okay, Curtis, good deal. Hey, Naj, you're up, bro. Now you get to say where you think everyone is going.
Yeah, I think we'll see Deshaun Watson in Houston. This is a stupid franchise, so why do we think they'll make the optimal move now? I think the owner, who has shown himself to be kind of stubborn and pigheaded and wants to do things his way, doesn't really want input from other people. I can see him kind of holding firm and forcing Deshaun to come show up to camp or firing him every day. And I think we just get a season in turmoil where he shows up and they don't trade him despite offers being on the table. So I think he stays in Houston.
Okay.
As far as Sam Darnold, I think that'll be a draft day maneuver because I think Matt Stafford goes off the board first and then Darnold is just kind of in waiting. And I think Saleh, of course, he's walking into the door. I think he'd much rather grab a quarterback under control who's looked at as a franchise, possibly, you know, face of the league type guy. So I think they're ready to move off Darnold, and I think they're actually going to sell him for scrap. I don't think they're going to get much for Darnold as much as they should. And, yeah, San Francisco is a possible landing spot. Detroit, possible landing spot. I think there's a few places where Darnold could go and actually, you know, rejuvenate his career similar to Tannehill. But I think the Jets are all in on that pick, man. I know everybody's saying, hey, this pick is worth this. You can get this, that, the third, all of that. I think teams are more likely to take what they think as the more guaranteed thing. And I think they look at the top of this draft as that. So I think Darnold's going to be an afterthought. And –
wow.
Yeah, New England would be in play. That was a good point. New England would be in play there too. I don't really see the Garoppolo in New England thing though, because I don't know. That's a tough one though, because that would be interesting if they were willing to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, this is all speculation right now. I love the fact that we all went a couple of different directions. I'm curious about Stafford. Like you said, I kind of agree, like the Colts are up there. Outside shot, think about Carson Wentz from the Colts because he was really big on the Frank Wright. Frank Wright was with the Eagles at the time, and he did really well that first year. Then he got hurt. So that may be kind of an outside situation for the Colts. If that doesn't happen, then I think, you know, Matthew Stafford is definitely a target for the Patriots because he's having this stigma of not winning. So going to Belichick, and Belichick may have something to prove as well. We'll talk about that next topic too. Rob, if there is some way that Deshaun Watson ends up in Atlanta, I will be the most happiest person in the world. I don't know how that can happen. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but if there is a way we can make that happen and just give up a number four pick or Ryan or something like that, I'm all in. You know, I keep hearing like it's going to take multiple first round picks. I don't think we want to do something like that. But if we can give up the four and something else, hell, even AJ Terrell, I will be ecstatic. You know, so I don't even know how that can even be done. But if you're hearing something,
I think it would have to be multiple first round picks. So. And
yeah,
Atlanta would have to trade this year's first round and probably maybe the next two first rounds after that. Now, the Jets got two first-round picks in this draft, so they'll be a little bit more doable for the Jets, possibly. And you mentioned the Dolphins, and it looks like the Dolphins are going all in on Tua. Even though the Dolphins have got two first rounds and two second rounds, even Chuck's Jacksonville's got two first rounders and two second rounders in this year's draft. Hey, do you trade for Deshaun instead of drafting Trevor Lawrence? But I don't see that happening from the looks of it. So, yeah, if you're Atlanta, you may have to trade the next 3 years' first-round picks in order to get them, or at least the next two first-round picks and maybe a few second-rounders in order to get them. And the Jets could put together a package for that. And you got to weigh those options, right? You know, do you want to go all in on the quarterback, but you may not have the pieces around to help that quarterback? So, I mean, the Jets trade for him right now. What kind of skill position players do the Jets have right now? Zero. Mm-hmm. And so the Jets trade both of their first-round picks, their second round, and maybe a first next year. They still don't have any personnel to go around them. And so, I mean, if you're the Jets, you got to think about that aspect of it too. You know, you're going to trade all your assets for a guy, but you don't have nothing to help the guy once you get to the camp. You've traded all your picks, and – you know, what free agents are out there that's going to get them over the hump at the running back, wide receiver, and offensive line positions? I mean, I don't think you're going to get any superstars out of that. So, to me, that's even a tough deal for the Jets to even make because there's just so many holes on their roster right now. But you get all a franchise quarterback, though.
There's something about Deshaun that's curious about that. And I don't know if it might be being in New York City. But when I think he's mad at something. One of the things I know about athletes is he's in Texas. There's no state tax in Texas. Why would you go? I mean, that, you know, the money may not be an issue for this guy. But
yeah, I think so.
To go from Texas to New York, and what that taxes will do to your paycheck, I don't see that being attractive at all.
Endorsements in New York might offset that, though.
That's true too. All right, let's get to going here. We're talking about Curtis's favorite team, the Patriots, and I'm gonna throw this to Naj first too. So we have the question: if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, how does this impact the legacy of Bill Belichick? So I'm going to let you start with that one, Naj.
Well, first thing, is he playing defense? Is he running the ball? This whole QB win is the worst stat that any sports industry ever came up with. It's terrible. It ruins conversations. It ruins our ability to kind of really diagnose stuff, and I wish it never happened. There's no such thing as QB win. Football is the ultimate team sport. Offense, defense, special teams, you need 53, sometimes 55, to be above average or greater to be able to really put together wins in football. And when we watch a game like the NFC Championship game last week, where we saw how horrible Tom Brady was in that second half, and then the next week we start talking about, well, legacy and Tom Brady, and he led them to – whoa. That defense led them to a win last week. We got to stop this, man. So if Tampa wins, I highly doubt it'll be on the back of a 500-yard, five-touchdown performance from – flawless performance from Tom Brady. More than likely,
wow,
the running game played well. The defense shut down the great Kansas City offense, and he made timely plays. That's what would, you know, be the most likely outcome if they were to get a victory. So I just reject the whole premise, man, because this stuff is getting out of hand, man. And it's kind of fueling what we're talking about. Think about it.
Right.
If you got to give up three firsts to get Deshaun Watson, it doesn't matter if he's a franchise quarterback. You're going to be terrible because your roster will be too thin, and you have to hit on every other decision in order to be good. No player is worth that. You know, this is kind of Herschel Walker trade vibes. When you think about what a football team consists of, one guy is not that important. I'm sorry. As great as Tom Brady is, he played on some really good teams in New England. A lot of guys who are going to put on golden jackets. So, no, this doesn't diminish Bill. He's one of the GOATs. Tom's one of the GOATs. But I'm not going to sit up here and act like, you know, one guy made the other. No, I'm not going to do that.
Well, Patrick Mahomes, though.
I mean, he's on the trajectory to be one of the great ones, to be one of the best to ever do it. That don't mean that it's going to happen.
Okay, I'm just saying. Patrick Mahomes is a dude right now. I'm sure a lot of teams, if you're the Bears, you'd like Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, year three
them,
of
you know?
Dan Marino. Wouldn't we be having the same conversation? That doesn't mean his
That's
career is going to play out in that fashion because, again, it's the ultimate team sport.
I hear that.
The Bears
could have
drafted Patrick Mahomes. They took Mitch Trubisky over.
That's what I was talking about. There's a couple teams that passed. That when you look at that draft, at least two teams that passed over Patrick Mahomes, and
of the year after passing over Patrick Mahomes and drafted Mitch Trubisky, because the defense averaged three turnovers a year and almost made it to the NFC Championship game, and that man got an NFL Executive of the Year for passing over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Ryan Chase. But
look at that.
I can agree with Nas on this one, and if you really look at, you know, give Tampa Bay credit. I mean, they won these three games on the road. I'm not trying to take anything away from their team. But Tom Brady has not been impressive. When you look at, you know, just like Nas said, he was horrible in the second half of this game this past week. And Tampa Bay's defense, he's like Tyler Hansbrough. He's got the will to win, right?
Yeah, you got the will to win. There it is. Rob knows what I'm talking about, too. You can't stop that.
It's a little inside joke.
Tyler Hansbrough is taking over. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. OJ Bullitt talking about Tyler Hansbrough has got a stronger will than Michael Jordan.
Get
out of here with that food.
Well,
but
you
came back
to
it. Yes,
about,
Tom Brady.
I want to
Tom
talk
Brady
about
was not impressive this past week. You know, he had the three interceptions in the second half. Tampa Bay's defense was really the one who held it together and stopped Green Bay. I mean, they got sacks at the right times. They got third and long. They got Green Bay in horrible situations. Their defense was really the ones that stepped up to the throne. And then even the week prior against the Saints, it wasn't anything. Tom Brady was not impressive in that game. The Saints' offense gave up 21 points Tampa Bay's offense in that game with the field position. But
you're right.
Whenever they had to go to field, the Saints' defense was stopping them. So it wasn't anything that he did great. I mean, he did have a good game against the Washington football team in the wild card round. But other than that, he has not been that impressive in the playoffs. And the Tampa Bay defense, you got to give Todd Bowles a whole lot of credit. Devin White, LSU, those pass rushers, they've done in the other linebacker. Why am I drawing a blank all of a sudden?
Levante Davis.
Devin White. Levante Davis from Nebraska. And So, yeah, both of those linebackers have been outstanding. Their defense has been really outstanding. That's what really set them apart, you know, here in these playoffs. And Ty Bowles has done a phenomenal job. Defensive coordinator, really surprised that he didn't get an opportunity to be a head coach again. I'm sure he's going to get that opportunity, but I thought he really should have got one of these jobs that were available. But, yeah, that, I don't think anything takes away from what Bill Belichick has done because, I mean, Tom Brady's won. He's helped his team win, but he has not been overly impressive in these playoffs at all.
Wow. Go ahead, Curtis.
Well, I was just going to say leadership. There are some guys, I'll talk about Michael Jordan. I mean, when this guy, and people are looking up at him, and people are looking at, up at Michael Jordan, and he's yelling at you, when, in New England, he bought into what Bill Belichick was selling. And he did that. The problem with New England was New England was not going to pay him $30 million a year. And they didn't. And Tom said, later days, guys, if you guys are not going to pay me $30 million, I'm not going to be there. And Tampa did. And we saw after game five, Tom Brady yelling at the team. And all of a sudden, the penalties went away, and some of the sloppy play went away in Tampa. Now, that's leadership. Tom Brady, for if you're going to say he hasn't been that impressive, Tom Brady is a leader. And one of the things you got to respect, who the hell else has been in 10 Super Bowls? This guy has lapped people. This guy has lapped people. And that you're looking at that. Patrick Mahomes, do you think he's going to be in 10 Super Bowls?
It's too early. There's a trajectory that, like Nas said, it's too early. I can agree with
you. I mean, that is very hard.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Andre. But...
No, you're good. I mean, just you can finish your thought. Let you finish your thought.
Yeah, I mean that's obviously going to be very hard to do, right? You know, but you know, this is two in a row for Patrick Mahomes going to the Super Bowl. Almost three in a row. They lost to the Patriots in overtime a few years ago, almost on the counts and horseshoes. But you know, they've been in the thick of things for three straight years when you look at Patrick Mahomes. But yeah, it is hard to predict if somebody going to the Super Bowl 10 times, right? And so, I mean, that, at this stage, it's very hard to predict something like that. That it's going to be, we don't know if that's going to ever be duplicated. You're right. And it's not to take anything away from what Tom Brady's accomplished in the last nine Super Bowls. I was just saying that, you know, yes, they're in the Super Bowl, but his play has not been that great.
Declining. By the time
your stats come up for the game, your stats don't come up for your legacy. So
there
when LeBron plays in the playoffs this year, it doesn't come up, hey, he went to nine Eastern Finals in a row. Like, no, the stats of this year. And this year, Tom Brady, as in the playoffs, as competition got better and things got tougher, he's been bad. No knock on him. Salute to the legend. He's an all-time great. He deserves all the respect. The thing about Patrick Mahomes as far as that trajectory to get towards Brady, the thing you want to look at is the rest of the AFC West. If the rest of the AFC West is incompetent and terrible, that gives you a chance to being a dynasty because that's what happens in football when you have dynasty. Every dynasty you want to name, go look them up. Look at the records of their division rivals during that era. Their division was usually down, and that allowed them way more bites at the apple, meaning getting into the playoffs, and being that we're talking about, you know, all-time greats, they were able to take advantage of it. So the same thing with the 49ers when the Saints were wearing brown bags on their heads and the Falcons, hell, we didn't even fill up half the lower bowl of the stadium. Like, that's the division they were playing in, the NFC West.
What did Brady and the Patriots play in?
All right, sure. You know I ain't telling no lies. And what did the what did the Brady and the Patriots play in his era? The worst AFC East we've ever seen. The Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins were historically bad. And now those teams are on the rise, so it'll be a little more difficult for the Patriots. But if you want to look at Pat Mahomes and find an indicator, that'll be it. How are the Raiders? How are the Broncos? How are the Chargers? What are they looking like going forward?
Yeah. Watch the Chargers with Justin Herbert, though. If they can get the right pieces around him.
Yeah,
they could be a team that could possibly contend here the next 2 years.
That's going to be a scary squad. Yeah, they got their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears like we've all kind of, I don't know, you know, Nod's kind of stole some of the thunder here. We're going to get to the mock draft too. Rob, thanks for posting again the second and third round as well, if I looked at that correctly on the page, man. But I think we're all leaning towards, you know, the way that the game is so far, that the Chiefs should pull this game out. Unless, like you said, you know, Tom Brady has some cheating magic in there. But it does appear, you know, obviously the Chiefs have some injuries on their offensive line. That can definitely affect, you know, Tampa Bay does have a good defense, like you said, Rob. But, you know, you're thinking that you're definitely depending on Tom Brady and the way that he's played, unless something happens. You know, the Chiefs, I think, at this juncture could actually get a couple turnovers and actually turn that game because, you know, you give Patrick Mahomes more opportunities, if you will. So that's kind of how I think it's going to definitely play out. I think the Chiefs are going to pull it out just because, again, Tom Brady hasn't been playing that well. Father Time is going to finally catch up. If you're Tom Brady, you'd like to win and go off in the sunset. But, again, I'm just kind of thinking the way that he's been playing, and you're going against a Chiefs team that just is going to have just enough defense kind of make a play, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Chiefs in this matchup too. And you're right. I am very concerned about them not having Eric Fisher to start left tackle in this game for the Chiefs, you know, especially when you saw those bookends rush against the Packers this past week, right? So that is a little concerning if you're a Chiefs fan. But I trust Andy Reid and his scheme, Eric Bieniemy, getting Patrick Mahomes out of the pocket a little more, let him use some of his athletic ability, the throw and the run a little bit, some more bootlegs to get him out of the pocket a little bit. So I expect him to utilize his talents.
He's got a fast squad,
to the best of his ability. Yeah. And also get rid of the football quickly, right? That's going to be key. When running the football, and he may have to do more north and south running as opposed to get to the outside with those tackles, reserve tackles that they have. So I believe they'll still have the right game plan as far as running the football, getting Mahomes out of the pocket a little bit more when he throws. So I think they will mix it up in order to help him in that area. But, yes, I still like the Chiefs in this matchup. I'm going to go 35-24 Chiefs, 11-point win.
Oh, man, even scores. Yeah, I agree with that. Go ahead, Curtis. I'll let Miles get in here.
Yeah.
What's your call?
I can't. Kansas City reminds me of when Golden State was raining you guys, raining the NBA with threes. You know, that little 3-year run where they just were. Just
you put a big smile on Dre's face.
That's what Kansas City reminds me of. They are going to score 35 points. So their defense, all their defense needs to do is keep you in 24, 26 point range, and they win the game. And that's
there it is. Okay.
That's what they do. Buffalo was 10-0. Buffalo was up by 10 points. And the next 36 points were Kansas City.
Yeah,
hard to stop them.
Hey, go back and look at last year's playoffs. Kansas City came back in all three games. And some of those games, one of those games, weren't they down like 20-something and nothing, and they came back, what, 50 on Houston?
That's right.
Yeah, that was Houston.
That's right.
Houston, with Deshaun Watson, was up.
Why Deshaun wants to leave. That's why he wants to leave. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, that was amazing. And they wouldn't even worry.
You got anything else to add to that, Naj?
No. I think y'all laid it out perfectly of how the game should possibly go. If Tampa wins, I think we'd see a big game from Leonard Fournette. A buck 40 and 2 touchdowns or something like that. Like, that's the only way I see them winning. However, I will be betting on Tampa Bay because they're getting 3.5 points. So, hey, I'll be betting on them and the under.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Andre, I saw you pull out a Yankees hat, man.
No, man, we ain't doing that.
I saw that, man.
I collect hats, man. That's a good looking hat, man. So there you go. That's the reason why. I ain't saying I'm a fan, you know, that, but it's a good looking hat. It's like the Dodgers are a good looking hat, but it's like I can only wear so many of them. Hey, let's get to this mock draft, Rob. So again, we've got 15 minutes left in the show here. We'll let this go here. So we always appreciate you taking the time to mock this. And interesting enough that you flip flopped here. You got the Jets taking Zach Wilson. You've got the Dolphins taking Devonta Smith. And like I said, the fourth pick, the Falcons, you got to take a Penny Sewell. I'm thinking I'm kind of 50-50 on that or, Jamar Chase. But, again, I don't know if you want to highlight a couple things. And, there's some great picks, if you will, what you have, if you will, as far as the draft for 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'll kind of highlight the first round a little bit. Then I'll kind of highlight, a few teams on what I have them doing in all three first rounds. Obviously, you touched on it. I got the Jets taking a quarterback here. And I know their organization is kind of going to go back and forth. Do we make the trade for Watson? Do we just draft a quarterback? Or do we stick to Sam Darnold, right? So, I got decisions there that they're going to be wrestling with here over the next couple of months. But as of now, I got them taking Zach Wilson. And as you write, Devonta Smith rejoins Tua, two Alabama teammates in Miami, gives him a weapon down there. And, the Falcons take the one of the best players in the draft, Penei Sewell, offensive tackle, Oregon, right? And I know the Falcons spent 2 first-round picks recently on the offensive line, but they still need help in the trenches. And Penei Sewell, if he's not the best player in the draft, he's one of the best players in this draft as well. Michael Parsons, very versatile, athletic linebacker from Penn State, having him going to Cincinnati. At number 5, Justin Fields, another quarterback going to Detroit, replaced Matt Stafford. Jamar Chase, wide receiver from LSU. The Carolina rejoins Joe Brady there in Carolina. Patrick Surtain, having gone to Denver. Kyle Pitts, another weapon for the Cowboys on offense. Hopes they get Dak Prescott back as well. I will skip around here a little bit. Got Trey Lance, got San Francisco taking a quarterback. Garoppolo's future there is questionable at this point.
Great pick.
Waddle, wide receiver for Alabama, going to the Chargers, give Justin Herbert here another
great
weapon.
Pick too, that
and
happens.
New England
that
gets
happens.
A quarterback here, Mac Jones. Not the most athletic quarterback, but he can sit back in the pocket and throw accurate passes. Mac Jones, quarterback from Alabama to New England. And let's skip around here a little bit.
They had your Saints Scott them really hard, by the way, Rob. They had them, Scott and Mac Jones really hard, by the way. Just was there some scuttlebutt about that, by the way.
It was the Saints?
Yeah, the Saints, New England.
Not sure we'll be able to get them at 28, but unless they're able to move up. But I got the Saints taking Trayvon Morick, who's probably the best safety in the draft. Really a unique safety. A guy that can play in the box and he can play in the free safety area. Forced a lot of turnovers at TCU. And I got Tampa Bay drafting a quarterback here in the end of the first round, Kyle Trask. How long is Tom Brady going to play here? Is he going to play another season? Is he going to play 2 more seasons? But they have to start preparing for that. And I got Tampa Bay taking a quarterback here in the latter part of the first round. When you look at you guys' team, the Atlanta Falcons, I already talked about Penei Sewell. Second round, I got him taking Rondale Moore. Wide receiver from Purdue can also be a kick return specialist as well. And I've said this on many occasions. It's probably time that they part ways with Julio Jones. Not sure how you guys feel about that as a Falcon fan. But in the third round, I got the Falcons taking Hamse Nursildeen, the safety from Florida State.
Love that pick.
Yeah. And
I like Richie Grant from TSU, too.
Then as far as the Cowboys are concerned, got to get another weapon, Kyle Pitts, tight end. Got to take Javon Holland, safety from Oregon in the second round, and Tadarius Slayton, defensive tackle from Florida. You know, I already talked about my Saints, Trevon Moehrig. In the second round, I have him taking Marvin Wilson, extremely athletic defensive tackle. Really is a first-round talent, but didn't have the production this past season, so got him falling off to the second round. And also Creed Humphrey, interior offensive lineman from Oklahoma in the third round. And they'll have two third-round picks this year, Israel Mukamu, cornerback from South Carolina. And I'll just highlight the Jaguars here really quick, too, and then, you know, any other comments you guys may have. But obviously got Trevor Lawrence. Got him taking Jalen Phillips, an edge rusher from Miami. So you get two of the most important positions on the football field, quarterback and edge rusher. And then you come back in the top of the second round, you get another important position, left tackle Samuel Cosmi from Texas to protect Trevor Lawrence. And you got Andre Sisko, safety from Syracuse in the third round. Got him coming back, taking another cap tackle in Cade Mays from Tennessee.
Well, so you, Curtis, you like Robert Mock, you guys first.
What? How many games do you think Jacksonville can win next year?
That's going to be tough. I definitely don't think there'll be a playoff team next season. At this point, I'll say four or five.
Well, that'd be real mark improvement, and things are looking up for Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got? You got nothing about the Cowboys, Curtis? About the picks? About the
man, the Cowboys. You know, I'm a fan, but they got to show me something. And I haven't seen anything in a long time for the Cowboys.
Okay.
It's 1995, right?
Yeah.
I love it.
No, I mean, the only thing I would add is I would be wary of Mac Jones. It's kind of that USC-Alabama quarterback thing where you're playing with so much overwhelming talent, you might not actually be that good. That's the one guy I'd be skeptical of.
I was talking about him and Ken Dorsey when they was playing for Miami. He had so much talent around him that he was so much better. He's like, oh, this dude sucks. I like the what you put together, Rob. I was going to tell you, the only thing in that second round, as opposed to getting Ronda White, we may look to getting Carlos Basham from Wake Forest. That may be the guy that I actually like in the second round, if you will. But third round pick, I love it. We're going to have to somehow get, you know, another replacement for Keanu Neal, as well as for if we're going to re-sign Ricardo Allen. But, you know, we'll see. But anytime you get talent is talent, man. So I'm curious to see what Terry Fontenot is going to do for the draft. I love it.
Oh, and also, don't get rid of Julio. Get rid of the guy that's throwing the ball to Julio. Sorry.
See, I'm with you on that, too, but I don't know that we can't go to that contract.
Julio can't stay on
guys.
The field, man. Seems like he's hurt every year.
Yeah, he's trying to get hurt on purpose. I don't know. But I agree with you, Naj, man. There's a way to get rid of Matt, you know. But Arthur Smith may be, you know, he may, I don't know. We would not run the ball for whatever reason. Really quickly, Rob, we got to talk about the Texans. They hire David Coley as the head coach. We talked about that. He's the assistant head coach for the Baltimore Ravens, if you will. We talked about Josh McDaniels as possible OC, if you will. What else do you want to talk about this as far as that quick move for the Texans? He's running into like a hornet's nest right now, but what's the deal about that move?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a shocking hire to me. Nothing against the gentleman here, but I thought for sure they were going to go with either Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy for that position at the head coaching position. And rarely do you see a gentleman become a first-time head coach at 65 years old. So that was a little surprising to me. But, you know, he's looking at getting some experience help. Looks like he's going to go with Josh McCown as his offensive coordinator and Lovie Smith to run his defense to give him some NFL experience. But I was very surprised they did not go with Bieniemy or Leslie Frazier. I really was. But out of all the teams this offseason, they're the only team that hired an African-American head coach. So that was, you know, good to see that we got at least one And, you know, it's really shocking, and it's really a shame that Leslie Frazier, Todd Bowles, and Eric Bieniemy did not get a head coaching job over some of these nuts that got head coaching jobs.
Yeah, I second that. And you think you didn't like what the Texans did? Ask Deshaun Watson. He didn't like it either. man. He would have rather said those three guys that you said, and maybe he could have kept us cool. But to see what he saw, you can see why he's yelling at people in Houston right now. And he's trying to be nice, but I guess he doesn't have any confidence that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
playing a good soldier can go bad for you. Ask Kevin Garnett. He spent the majority of his career under incompetent leadership, got out of there, and then people actually saw what he really was. So I can definitely understand it. As far as the hiring, I'm not surprised. This is America. Sports is a microcosm of society. So the same bias and racism that you see in hiring in corporate America, you will also see in sports. And the NFL is just a blatant example where it's right in front of your face because there's only 32 teams, and you can see it right there. But it's as American as apple pie.
Well, yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
Little Boy Network.
Yeah, and I know there's a couple of commentators that weren't – I mean, obviously, you're thinking, I don't know if Eric Bieniemy's interview is bad. It's just not good, man, because this was the guy, the top
That's
guy.
That's what I was wondering.
Going into the office, you know, and you just figured he was definitely going to shot, you know. So it's just, you know, it's pretty disappointing to the least, too. I thought he was going to be a top candidate for the Falcons. I don't know if he was one or two with us. And
we
then,
saw a man do a presser talking about biting off people's legs. How bad could he have interviewed?
Oh, my God. True indeed.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
That,
he said he's going to bite people's kneecaps off.
But that's a,
oh
hey, guess
God.
What? Guess what? There's four teams in the NFL that have never been to a Super Bowl, have never given their employees a chance to be a championship. And two of them we're talking about right now, Houston and Detroit.
Yeah.
The other two are Jacksonville and Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Have
call.
Never been
good
to
call.
A Super Bowl.
Yep, that's a good call. That's what it is. All right, Rob. All right, gentlemen. It's been an amazing night. Let's go ahead and get ready to set the OT portion of this, man, so we can get ready to wrap the show up. I know we can stay on for a little while, too, unless you – I know, Rob, you want to jump off, too. But, again, we are kind of ready to wrap this up as we always do. I got to cue the music. I've been having too much fun, if you will, too. We'll let you have this moment here, Rob, if you will.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. We're talking sports with the 12th man. We got a lot of NFL talk. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. So unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link, and you can get the rest of the show for the rest of tomorrow and the rest of the week. Next week, we're going to be back to our normally scheduled night, Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, for our friends in Portland, Los Angeles, and Seattle. It's going to be 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Don't miss us. We'll be back next week. We'll get you set up for the Super Bowl once again. We'll get you caught up on where we are in the NBA and the college basketball season, too. Good night, people.
Love it, as always. Again, I'm going to try to do my best JQ impersonation. Go Chargers, again, as I always do. So we appreciate you guys. A lot of prayers out to Gary and his father, Curtis. A lot of prayers for you, man. Keep it going. Najman, we always appreciate you showing up. So keep it going, man. We love your wit, man. So anything you do, bring it, man. We're going to have some fun, too, man. And stay away from the lemon pepper wings, man. Stay safe, y'all. We're still in this pandemic. So still, I need everyone to keep washing themselves, washing all of that, and wear the mask,
yeah,
if you will. Hey, Rob, before we wrap this up, I want to let everyone to kind of talk about Philip Rivers retiring from the NFL. We'll do the fantasy shout-outs, and we'll go ahead and wrap up the show, too. So anyone else got to talk about anything special about Philip Rivers retiring? He had a nice little write-up, too, when I was – I don't know if you guys follow the Players Tribune, but a very nice write-up for Rivers, if you will, too, from the Colts, even though he's only there for one season. But we'll go around the horn, let you fantasy shout-outs, and wrap up the show. So there you go, Rob.
Yeah, Philip Rivers obviously had a solid NFL career. You know, I guess the question is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I think he will be a Hall of Famer. I guess, you know, the disappointment for him and, of course, the teams he played for, you know, never made, took a team to a Super Bowl, but he took a lot of teams to the playoffs, competitive guy. But, you know, this past season he did look a lot better than he did with his last 2 years at the Chargers. He definitely looked like a declining quarterback when he was playing for the Chargers. Got to he revived his career a little bit here in his last season, much better than he did when he closed out with the Chargers. But, you know, hats off to him on a solid NFL career.
I want to say, didn't Philip Rivers, was that Philip Rivers that time they played San Francisco in the Super Bowl? Who was the quarterback for San Diego when they played? Who was that quarterback?
Wasn't Philip Rivers. He never made it to a Super Bowl.
No, wasn't Philip Rivers.
That
it
would
was,
be Natron Means as the running back, and the quarterback was...
Who was that
Mr.
quarterback?
Average, what was his name? My God. Oh, my God.
So that is a good question.
What was his name?
It wasn't Fouts, was it? Are we going back that far?
No,
it wasn't Dan Fouts.
Fouts. This is 90s.
It wasn't Dan Fouts.
Oh, 90s. Hold on.
We got to look that up. Because
Chargers.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah, it couldn't have
wasn't
been.
Wasn't Doug Flutie.
I thought I would look good too. What Drew Brees was a little. Was what Drew Brees had LaDainian, but was he there during that time? Wow, hold on. Let's see. San Diego.
I got to look that up too when I get a chance. But that
Stan
is the question.
Man Humphries was the quarterback
Stan
for the
Stan Humphries. Wow.
Stan
Humphries.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How we forget.
Bobby Ross and Joe Seifert. Wow, Bobby Ross was the coach of the Chargers. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, Philip Rivers.
Good job, Nosh.
I loved his competitiveness. I loved this. What I liked about him, he was one of those guys who would talk a lot of doo-doo to the people. To the fellow players out there. He was kind of mouthy. He was kind of rough. The question will be, is he going to be in the Hall of Fame? And I'm not really sure if he's going to make the Hall of Fame or not. I'm not really sure. But I know he will get some votes. And if he doesn't make it, he'll be close.
Yeah,
once again, I'll be the bad guy.
That he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, I ain't even going first ballot. I'll be the bad guy. Philip Rivers is not a Hall of Famer. He is a Hall of Good player. He's also a player who had many great moments in the NFL. His interaction with other people, the fact that he didn't curse, great personality, the weird throwing motion. He is a Ring of Honor guy for the Chargers. They should salute him. Put him in a Ring of Honor, retire the jersey if they want to do that, and that's all well and good. But as far as the Hall of Fame, like best of the best, he's just not that. And I don't think that's a knock on Philip. If you have a draft and you have a chance to draft a guy who will be as good as Philip Rivers, you take it 100 times out of 100. That means your quarterback panned out. But it also means he's a tier below some of the all-time greats as far as like Hall of Famers. But, man, ain't no shame in Ring of Honor. Salute to Philip Rivers, man. Great career. He extended it one extra year in Indy. And, you know, he deserves all the respect he can get. But we don't need to be sympathetic and give somebody a Hall of Fame credential who don't deserve it. I'm sorry.
Wow.
He didn't win the big one.
Put up a lot of stats, man. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if the stats enough to make it. That's fun. This is a great squad, man, Junior. I'm looking at this.
So does
Vinny
Testaverdes.
Yeah, that's true, too. Sean Jefferson, yeah, Tony Martin. All right, Rob, this is the fantasy shout-out, man. That was a good call, man. Way to pull out Fed Humphries. I think it had Trent Green on it, too. I don't see him on the roster, too. This is crazy how back you're looking at Terry Crews. Looks like, yeah, this is crazy. Hey, Rob, let's do the fantasy shout-outs. I'm going to wrap up another amazing edition of Talking Sports from the 12th Man.
Yeah, that just goes to see you, to my Saints fans. If the Chargers can get to the Super Bowl with Stan Humphries, we can get to the Super Bowl with Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston next year and win it. So, Lee will be able to and, but anyway, you're supposed to be talking about fantasy shout outs, right?
Yeah, we'll wrap this
fantasy. Shout outs here. We start with fantasy basketball. We never did do our season in the fantasy football shout outs, so we'll do those here in a second. Fantasy basketball shout-outs. Actually, my team had the biggest win of the week last week. Trust the process. The 6-3 win over the Tampa's here. And Rhino in New Orleans, 15 in first place. Saints Pelicans, 23, with a 28-16-1 record. And our fantasy football season in shout-out, so we never did it last week. League number one. The biggest win of the week was Monsters of the Midway. That was Paul in Atlanta. But it was 166.12 win over Lions King 100. My team won a championship, Death Valley. Beat Gentilly Hot Sausage. 124-111. And league number two, Sean from Atlanta had the biggest win of the week, Black and Gold Patrol, at 214.74. Over to 150.98. I think I got the team name wrong. Who he beat? He beat Boxcar Willie in the championship. I'm sorry. So he's the biggest win of the week, and he won a championship. So congrats to Sean Atlanta. He won a championship.
Sean,
league number two, 214.74. over Boxcar Willie 02, 150.98. That was the biggest win of the week, and he won a championship in league number two. And also, let's see, league number three, Sean in Atlanta had the biggest win of the week in that league too. Beat Pelican Fly 181.86 to 104.40. Matt in Indianapolis, he won the championship. 194.28, beat my team Crazy Crew in the championship, 186.18. That was the week Alvin Kamara had 6 touchdowns, and he just so happened to be on Unger's crew team. Beat me in the championship, 197.28 to 186.18. So congratulations to Matt and winning that league championship. League number four, Andre's team, Andre's BLM. Beat Baby Got Backfield 182.42 to 80.40. And my team won a championship in that league, Flash Forward over Birds Flew South 185.84 to 176.82. Those are our championship results and biggest wins, and also our fantasy basketball. So still a lot of action in fantasy basketball left.
There it is. All right. Cool. All right. Naj, got anything to say before we wrap up?
No, I'm good, man.
Okay, cool.
It was good.
We appreciate
to be on as usual, man.
You know how it goes. We appreciate you always joining us, too. Yeah, as always, you're cracking us up, too, all the time, man. Curtis, what you got to say, man, as you get ready to wrap this up?
Oh, man, it was a joy being on the radio spot. And I watched the Blazers today. They were up by 20 and ended up losing by one to a Houston team. And I'm still trying to figure out who the hell ran Houston's team. I saw
that's
Gordon.
A good question. That's a good question.
Yeah.
John Wall, Eric Gordon.
Oh, never mind.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The Marcus
Cousins, the Mercenary All-Stars.
That's awesome. Okay. I had to think about that. That's good, Naj. I'm trying to figure out who they got. Yeah. Okay, they're not
Victor Oladipo, DeMarcus Cousins, Christian Wood,
Eric
Gordon, like you said, yeah. This is a mercenary all-star, okay. For real.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Victor Oladipo.
So, hey, don't take it as bad as you thought over there, Curtis. That was actually, you think it's a pretty good squad. They went no point.
Yeah, but I was watching that game, and it was such a blowout, I stopped watching it. So I really thought Portland won the game. I guess that's why you got to keep watching sometimes, right?
You got to keep watching.
Dame needs CJ back, man. He's having to do way too much right now. If CJ gets back, things will be a little smoother.
And Nurkic. Yeah. They missed a lot when they missed Nurkic.
Yeah. And Carmelo still can't guard a statue.
When does Carmelo guard anyone, though, Rob? Come on, man.
He said, that ain't what you paid me for, baby.
You paid me. Exactly correct. You don't pay him for that. It's all good. Oh, man. All right, fellas, I know it's kind of, again, another late night, man. Get some rest. We appreciate the text, guys. You know, throw those prayers up for Gary and his family and his dad and whatnot, too. So enjoy it. We got one more week, and then we're going to talk Super Bowl. And hopefully we won't let Tom Brady, I won't see him posting that damn trophy. But, again, be safe, guys, as always. Rob, have a great week. Curtis, be safe. You do the same, too, as well, Naj, okay?
Thank you.
Next week, you guys, Friday early.
Mask
you guys, be good. Yep, mask up, for real.